parents. Today's year. So, obviously, this is a very important mitzvah. It's a very important mitzvah. It's also a very difficult mitzvah. First of all, Chazal tell us that when a child honors his parents, and the truth is, b'teva, a normal home which has a normal relationship and a good relationship with the parents, it's natural for a child to feel respect and honor and fear, whatever you want to call it, from his parents. And Chazal say that when a person honors his parents, he's like he's honoring God. That's a big one. Remember, we have in the Ten Commandments, we have Anochi Hashem Elokecha Velo Yerecha. Keneged, I am the Lord your God. We have Kaved et Avicha ve'et Imecha. It's the same scale as honoring parents. Sorry, it's the same scale as honoring God. There's no bigger thing than honoring God. That's the tachlis. The tachlis of the Bria is to honor God. That means when we're saying honoring your parents is like honoring God, he's saying there's a tachlis to that. That's an ikka. It's not just a mitzvah. It's not just, you know, I'm not saying putting on tefillin, but it's much bigger than putting on tefillin. Much bigger. You with me? So at first I want to understand how important it is and how difficult it is. There's Gemaras that Rabbi Talfon, a very famous Gemara, Rabbi Talfon, right? With his mother. He put his hand under her feet that she wore. I'm not saying you have to go do that. Don't worry. For nowadays, if you do that, maybe you consider it, your mother would think you're a Mishuna. If you came home doing that to your mother, say, why are you saying you're Shiva? It'd be so funny. But if you come home and you ask to make a cup of tea, you speak nicely to her. Even when she's annoyed with you, you speak nicely to her. And you not necessarily were that way in the past, she'll say, hey, this Yeshua did something. Look how he's respecting me, your father. You phone your parents probably. Everyone here probably phones their parents once a week. Your parents brought you into this world. You owe them. Without them, you wouldn't be here. They got married. Having children, especially nowadays, you know, today, having children, you're like, you're one of the minorities. If you want to have children, like, what do you want to have children for? Why don't you have fun with your life? What do you need to have children for? Your parents had children. They looked after you. They got up at night for you. They cared for you. They took you through school. They went through all the strains and tribulations that you don't even know they went through because of you. They did a lot for you. Forget just the Hakara Satov. If there's anyone else in this world who did what your parents did for you, you would have tremendous Hakara Satov. Just someone who helped you out once, what your parents have done every year for you, you'd have a tremendous Hakara, tremendous recognition of the good they did you. Why don't we have that for our parents? Well, I'm your son. It's expected. Oh, you paid for my university, you helped me out, you speak to me, or you put me up in your house and I did whatever I did. You know, I went out at night, did whatever I did, didn't respect you. I could do whatever I want. I didn't have to, I live in your house, like, you can't tell me what to do. So you were bored in someone else's house, and you said, listen, I'm only conditioned that you can board this house A, B, C. Otherwise, it's going to cost you money. Your parents, it's free. And you say, and your parents say, listen, I want you to do certain things. Yeah, what do you want me to do certain things? No, I don't want to do them. And you think it's perfectly okay. You're living in their house. You assume they owe you. You assume them looking after you. That's the problem. You assume they're looking after you. They have to do that. They're your parents. You have to look after me. I'm your child. You have to look after me. We don't think about it as they're doing you a favor. Put together all the things your parents did for you and think about someone who wasn't your parents who did that for you. What would you feel about them? How would you look to them? You'd feel a tremendous recognition of good. The question becomes is, what happens if your parents did bad stuff to you? That becomes the question. Say because of your life, or because of their lives, or their lives together, they hurt you. Not physically, emotionally. Say you didn't have proper shalom bias. Your parents didn't have proper shalom bias. That shalom bias affected you in your trust issues. Or they would shout, that made you nervous. You're right, they're your parents. They caused you emotional pain as a child by them arguing. Or even they're shouting at you. Or maybe they weren't such good parents. Do you still have a mitzvah to honor them? What do you think?
So this. If I honor.
Okay. Honor means believe. L'chabed means in your heart. It means to honor someone, you have to hold them as honorable. Mimela, automatically, that will cause you to look after them if they need. When you honor someone, example, here in the yeshiva, you honor. No, the honor is belave. If you honor someone, you mechabit someone, you think of them as high, you think of them as important, you respect them. That's what honor is. Honor isn't you give them a cup of tea. Of course, you respect someone. If you respect someone, you know, like, there's Rebbeim that I very much respect. If that rabbi gave me a quarter, rabbi, can you do me a favor? Yeah. If I knew the rabbi needed something, you without him asking me, I would do something for them because this person I tremendously respect. Right? When you respect someone, automatically you want to do things for them. That's automatic. That's natural, because there's a tremendous awe, a tremendous respect, a tremendous covet you have for that person. You see him as a very important person. Of course, you want to respect. Of course, you want to do something to them. Yeah, you know, there's Rabbi Gershwin gives his chumash. Every year, there's some guy brings him a cup of tea. Would you ask him to bring him a cup of tea? No, the guy automatically brings him. I mean, if he knows that he wants a cup of tea. I don't know if this year what's happening, but you guys don't know about it. Okay, I haven't picked on it yet. Okay, but usually every year someone brings him his cup of tea. Okay, maybe he doesn't want it, I don't know. But that doesn't become because you're honoring him by bringing a cup of tea. It's because you respect him, you're bringing him a cup of tea. Honor is not feeding, it's not serving. Honor is belave in your heart. That means if you don't have that respect from your parents, you might give them a cup of tea. But somewhere in you, oh, give them a cup of tea and finish with it.
How do you
understand what I'm saying? There's the giving of cup of tea and there's giving cup of tea. Gemara actually speaks about it. That someone just throws the food to the parents and someone gives it respectfully to them. Complete difference. That's not honoring them. You understand what I'm saying? Says halacha. Your parents aren't Rishayim, which it's very rare to find someone who's a Rasha. I've never met one in my life. Right? Now, I don't mean they don't keep Shabbos. It's nothing to do with that. I mean Rasha, like, you know, in Midas, in attitude, in the way they behave. That's very rare. You know, no one's parents is, you know, like, I mean, there are people who, you know, have parents, all sorts of parents, but usually the parent who's Jewish, which is usually the mother, we have the, otherwise none of you guys would be in the yeshiva, because the father's only Jewish, you're not Jewish, right? So if the mother's Jewish, and there are cases like that, and the father says something, they got divorced, or whatever, or and he's some funny guy, but the mother usually is a decent person. And certainly both parents are Jewish, usually they're decent people. They might have their own quirks and their own issues and their own hashkafas about Judaism, or they feel it's a cult here or whatever. Right, that's something else. That's nothing to do with it. And the fact that they feel it's a cult, and they say, what are you going to this culty thing? That's only because they care for you. They don't really know what it is here. They don't really know that this is a good place. But when they see you after a year or 6 months or whatever time they see you, they'll realize that it isn't. You don't have to worry about that. Especially if you honor them and you show them that you care for them and you appreciate their care. So the question is, what happens if your parents speak Lashon Hara? Which is, in the Western world, that's part of conversation. Like you speak about this one or that one. And so no one has this concept that it's forbidden. So first of all, there's a concept, right? In the Gemara says, that Atinok Shunishba, your parents' pashtus, Atinok Shunishba. Now, I'm not saying that they couldn't work out that Lashon Hara is Asa. But most people in the world don't see it as something which is forbidden. They think it is normal conversation. I mean, they wouldn't want someone to do it to them. But at the same time, they understand that that's how people interact. And that's part of normal, friendly conversation. I'm not saying it is. And I'm not saying it's not a bad thing. It's a very bad thing. But they don't realize the Issa. Just as they don't realize the Issa of Shabbos. Now, you're right. Shabbos, maybe they wouldn't be worked out for themselves. And Lashon Hara, they could have, in a certain sense, al pi sechel, through understanding, could work out for themselves. But in their world, there's no Issa. So the Gemara says, someone says, Omer Mutter, honestly, it's onus. Munbaz, it's a Gemara. He doesn't have to bring a korban, only one korban for all his averes. So you can't look at them. They didn't come to Yeshiva. They didn't learn Chofetz Chaim. They didn't understand. I mean, if you want to, but you should be very careful about preaching or teaching your parents. What you can do is go home and leave some Lashon Hara book around, or something that speaks about these things, and mum or dad, who are interested in what you're learning, will read the book and say, wow, we never knew this is awesome. That doesn't make sense. And then they'll ask you about it, and then you'll explain to them.
Or find it in the trash or do
that. Yeah, okay, you might find it in the trash as well. So you pick it up. But it's worth sometimes saying, look, I don't know parents, and I don't know how negative they are, but I want to tell you something. A lot of the time, by respecting them, by showing them you care, they come back. It might take time, but they come back. So, come back to understanding you and respecting your views and seeing you as making the right choice. They won't admit it straight away because they're older and they've been through life and they've seen life and they're not going to change at this stage of their lives. But at least they'll respect your choice. At least that. To your parents, you don't have to show them you're doing mitzvahs to them. That's annoying to them. Your parents don't want to say, oh, you know why he's honoring me? Because it's a mitzvah for him to do it. That would annoy them. And they're right. They're right. If my son says, Daddy, I'm going to honor you because it's a mitzvah. So maybe I'd be happy about it because he's doing mitzvahs, but at the same time, I want him to honor me or care for me because I'm his father and he cares for me as a human being. So imagine going up to your wife, Bezalel Hashem, you have a wife and say, you know why I love you? Because my rabbi told me today it's a mitzvah to love your wife. So I love you because it's a mitzvah. She's going to like that? You know why I bought you flowers this week? Because the rabbi told me that it's a mitzvah to buy flowers for your wife, Erev Shabbos. So I'm buying you flowers. I don't care for you. Just because the rabbi said. Your wife would like that? No. The whole point of buying the flowers is what? Show that you care for them. The whole point of honoring them is because you respect them, you care for them. That's the vote. The Torah wants you to respect them. The Torah wants you to care for them. Obviously, you can't respect them in those things which are against the Torah, but you can understand why they do it. And you don't have to lose the respect of them because it's not their fault. I mean, let's be honest. We also spoke Lashon Hara before we became frum. It was also part of normal conversation. If you didn't speak, you're a quirk. Right? It's only when we learn things that we realize, wow, yeah, that makes sense. Right. I should have known that anyway. Everyone reads a newspaper. What do newspapers speak about? Tells you about this one and what this one did and that one did. Everyone reads it. Everyone buys these newspapers because of the scoop of Lashon Hara, isn't it? Otherwise, newspapers wouldn't sell. Right? And now with social media, I'm sure, I don't know what happens, but I'm sure it's just full of Lashon Hara. That's what people are interested in, what people are happening in their lives. Make sense? There's another much deeper reason why it's so important to honor parents. Like you said, there's a heckish between honoring parents and honoring God. Your relationship with your parents as a child, and even as an older child, as you get older, is going to be your relationship with your Creator. It's going to be your relationship with your Creator. Chazal say, from your mother, that she speaks to you nicely, you learn Ahavas Hashem. Because the way you relate to your mother is where you get your trust or entrusting and the way you develop relationships. The way you relate to your father, now, it can be, you know, can be a combination today. But generally speaking, the Gemara says the way you relate to your father, you get Yirat Shamayim. Why? Because your father teaches you Torah. So, okay, our fathers maybe didn't teach us Torah. But they taught us how to live lives. They taught us to be honest. They are aspects of Torah that our parents taught us. They taught us to be good people, whatever level of good. You guys weren't born in the streets. You guys weren't born without parents. You'd see children that are born without parents, what hang-ups they have. Lo Aleinu, you know, they wanted to make a kibbutz, which has separated the kids from their parents. And they brought them up, just the kids by themselves, and the parents were free, and the kids brought up themselves. And they had no respect. The kids were deranged psychologically. Were deranged. They don't do that anymore. Now, everyone has a home. He goes home and eats meals with his parents. Once it was communal, no. Even kibbutzim, they realized it was a mistake. It's very important, the relationship with parents, for your psychology. How you relate to your parents. And relationship with parents can be improved. Even if there was in the past a problematic relationship, you can improve it, and that can improve your psychology. You know, boys come up to me sometimes and they say, Rabbi, I can't daven. Doesn't do anything for me. First question I ask them is, what's your relationship with your mother? Tefillah is Ava. The halachas of Ava is Hilchos Tefillah. In the Rambam, it's Ava is Hashem. It's entrusting yourself in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's trust. Where does trust come from? Your mother. If you have a problem in entrusting the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have a problem in relationships, it's going to be because you don't have a good relationship with your mother. And sometimes if your parents are arguing, that's a vada that removes trust. See, these are people you respect, and really they're arguing. So you lose trust. Your parents do argue. And nowadays it's very rare to find perfect homes. Certainly not in the secular world, and even in the frum world, it's not a perfect home. So children are going to be... No, there are homes which are good homes. You can see straight away from the children if they come from a good home or not. But when parents argue, it removes trust of the child. Because the child sees his parents, certainly a young child, as that they represent something very big. You know, my father's a giant. You know, kids speak like that. And then they see things that their parents do. It removes from them trust. It removes from them respect. So what do you do with that? When you get old and you realize that they had an effect on you, sometimes you need psychologists. It depends if it's a big thing. Sometimes you without, but it'll go away. So long as you recognize where it comes from, you recognize that you have a little bit lack of trust, and it comes from the lack of trust that you saw from your parents' relationship, right? So as long as you realize that you have that, and then you know every time you say, I don't trust that guy, or you find it difficult, so you remember, why do I have this difficulty? Probably because of the entrusting relationship that I didn't see from my parents. And then you realize that, and you have to work on entrusting people. You have to work on giving yourself over to people, relying on them. And then it could be you will be surprised, and the reliance and the relationship will come through. Could be they'll be hurt, and that'll make it even harder for you. But you have to, in order to have a relationship with someone, you have to be vulnerable. You have to take a chance. And sometimes you don't want to take a chance because when we took the chance, we got so hurt, we're not willing to take it again. And sometimes that happened with our parents. They were willing to take a chance of having a relationship and they just didn't come back to us. They didn't want to have that relationship and we feel hurt from that. And that hurting doesn't allow us, that fear of hurt. And really, it's a fear of hurt. It wasn't so hurtful. It's just that you felt the pain of a child, which was hurtful because you're completely dependent on them. And now you're not dependent, but every relationship that you get hurt from makes you feel that hurt of dependency. And you feel dependency in a relationship. But really, you're not dependent. You understand what I'm saying? That means I want to have a relationship with someone, but I never had the relationships I had in my past with my parents or whatever. Those relationships I got hurt from. And it could also be some, you have relationships with people and you got hurt. But generally it starts with parents. And now I got very hurt from that relationship. I'm going to be frightened to get into any relationship. That's very bad. That's very bad. You have to realize that that relationship was, you got hurt, you got hurt. Probably wasn't for you. There was reasons for it. But doesn't make every relationship that way. Doesn't matter, but you have to be vulnerable. You have to be allowed yourself to tell what happened to you if you get hurt. What happened to you? The only reason you're going to be so hurt is it regurgitates your past relationship and you re-feel the hurt from past relationships or the relationship with your parents. But so long as you realize that now you're a big boy, you're not going to be hurt. The only hurt that's going to come to you is you bring back those old relationships. So they have to go forward. And Yira, with the father, boundaries. Sometimes a child doesn't have boundaries because parents never gave him boundaries. And boundaries are very important to a child, because if a child doesn't have boundaries, he doesn't feel cared for at all. He can do whatever he wants. And there are people, I do whatever I want. Do whatever I want. And they have to be given false, sometimes even false boundaries, so that they learn that not everything they can do, and then they feel a little bit cared for. It's funny. A child doesn't feel cared for, he can do whatever he wants. You know, these rich kids, go buy whatever they want, go wherever they want, get a car, do whatever they want. They don't feel cared for parents. They go with a credit card of the father, or whatever it is, or they have their own credit card, and go and spend and buy and do whatever they want. No boundaries in their life. There's nothing bounding them. They go late, they come home late, the father's coming home late, the mother's coming home late, they can do what they want, parents don't care. Go have fun. Go do whatever you want. And they go. They go, they try drugs, they try whatever. They're not happy with that. Because they're not cared for. Boundaries also implies caring. If I want my child to come home and they want home curfew at 11, that doesn't mean I'm a bad parent. That means I care for him because I know after 11, there's bad things there in the world that I don't want him to be with. And even if the child will argue with you, deep down, if he comes from care and not just control, he'll feel cared for. Do you understand? So we need those boundaries. That comes from the father. And those boundaries are very important, because otherwise a child can't take a job. He can't be, you know, in an environment where there's other people who he has to consider, because the other people are bounding him. You have to share a room with someone. So you're sharing a room with someone, right? That means he's asleep when you walk in, or you're asleep when he walks in, right? That's a boundary. You have to be quiet now. You have to consider it now. You can't just do whatever you want. You with me? Getting up in the morning, how you get up. It's a boundary. You can't wake up everyone. Okay, so you got up for chakras. That means you can wake up the whole yeshiva. This guy's the first year. He doesn't want to get up for chakras. Or the second year, right? He doesn't want to get up for chakras. It's you should wake him up for chakras? No, leave him alone. Maybe he's tired. Leave him alone. He's going to shirim. Or if he's not going to shirim, the rabbis will deal with him. Not up to you to teach him what to do. So you have to get up quietly. Maybe you brush your teeth in the toilet, or wherever you do it, right? Or you do negavosa, no, I'm machmir, to do negavosa under my bed. And you make a noise, and you wake someone up. That's such a mitzvah? I don't know. You understand? You have to think about these things. You understand? Boundaries are a good thing. It helps you to deal with life. And when you get married, also, you're going to be in the same room as your wife. You have to be considerate. How you come into the room? How you get out of the room? How you change? Well, you get up, you put the lights on, and you wake her up. No, you have to be considerate, right? You've got kids. You understand responsibility or living with other people, which you're going to live if you have a family. You can't do everything that you want. You're not free to just fly off. Unless you have the rishus of your parents or your rishus of your family, right? That's what responsibility means. That's what living within boundaries gives you, a certain feeling of responsibility for the people around you. You understand what I'm saying? So that's an important thing you get, those boundaries. So your parents gave you those things. Now, if parents did things to you which affected your psychology, so long as it isn't, chas v'shalom, you know, like major things, you should still develop that relationship with the parents. And you should remove from yourselves, with your own actions and with help if necessary, those things which would cause you badly. And also, maybe it wasn't your parents' fault that they argued. Maybe there's a reason. Maybe there's a reason in their psychology. Maybe one parent or the other has a problem, or they had a problem previously from their parents. You can't blame them. You have to accept them for who they are. They're not perfect, but Bezrat Hashem, they're going to get there. You should be leaving, guys. The main thing, with, like I said, is honoring parents. So you're not with them now. But that means you give them a call. Now, your parents, you don't have to speak to them every day. I'm not even sure if they're expecting you to speak to them. But they certainly expect you to speak to them once a week or twice a week, right? So you should initiate the call, and you should have something to talk about. It shouldn't be, work out how to talk to them. Work out what to say. Work out, you know, have a conversation. Have a proper conversation. Show them how much you care for them. Show them what you're learning here, and the way you're going is the ways they taught you.
How do you show that you care for them, being from here so far away? Like, do you send them flowers from there when you're here?
You could, if it's your mother's birthday or something like that. You buy something on Amazon if you have the money. I mean, right. You're not earning money while you're here. So, but buy something small. They don't really care how much you buy. Mm-hmm. They send them a card.
That's enough.
Okay, so look, I don't know what they're expecting.
Right.
But the very fact, you know, some people even send, I don't like so much these, you get these internet cards.
Right.
So there's someone, you press something, it's free anyway. You press something and it's like something flashes on your email. Okay. You know, getting a card in hand with words that your son wrote, with a letter that took a week, 2 weeks, that shows he went to the post office. He took his time to buy a card. He wrote it out. And she reads it. She puts it in front of her. And she sees it. Your mum, your father. That's a big difference. And some, you know, he went down. It took him 5 minutes. He found some Google thing that does like some blast. And he puts in, you know, he has, fills it. It took him 5 minutes to do. And he sends you an email. Think if you had a girlfriend, right? That's how you'd say happy birthday to her? No, you send a bunch of flowers, you send a card. You do it properly, right? So your parents? Just like, you know, pity have it, I'll send them a card. No, do it properly. So your mum's birthday, I mean, I don't know if you celebrate, but if you normally celebrate, show them you care, send their card, send them, don't send them a big present, send them something that you think she'd like. Especially send her something she likes, or even food that she likes. She knows you don't have money, but you thought about her. You know how happy she'd be? Or your father? Men are different. You know, sometimes men, you're like, yeah, what do you put me this stupid, junky thing? What do I need this for? And, you know, they're not so sentimental that you said, but even, you'd be surprised.
That food's very easy.
Yeah, even your father would appreciate that you say how much you appreciate him. If you write nice words, and what you're learning here, it can make a tremendous difference to them. Well, especially if you didn't do that in the past. They said, wow, he learned something in yeshiva.
It works like a little shtickle Torah without like putting it in your face.
Be very careful. Right. The Torah, you have to be very careful, well, because they think you became...
They're all like very interested in...
Okay, if they're interested and they want to hear, then yeah. Then yeah. Like, but don't grown. Make it don't make it your conversations right. with them. The main part of the conversation should be just talking. Unless they ask you, they say, I have a question for you. I wanted to ask you something. I have a problem. You know, they're starting to daven. Then yeah, if they ask you, answer. But also answer succinctly and give it. Don't make up an answer that doesn't make, you know, that you think makes sense and for them it doesn't make sense. You say, it's a good question, Dad. It's a good question, Mom. I'll get back to you. I have to ask the rabbi and next week I'll tell you what it is. Yeah? Make it important. Then go find out. Go ask a rabbi. Go speak to someone. Go find out. Do your homework. If it was someone else, someone who your mechabed asked you a question, say your boss asked you a question, right? You come and ask a rabbi, my boss asked me this question. You know, it's choshev to you, your boss. So you're in the same way as your parents. You understand what I'm telling you? Makes sense?
Are there certain, like, you said, like, getting in, like, cars and letting them know that you came out. Yeah, because about, like, your con... Is there
I'll tell you a Rashi. Rashi says like this. Rashi says, when you give a present to someone, or you do a chesed to someone, he says, they realize that you love them. And because they realize that you care for them, they come to love you. If you care for someone, he's going to care for you in return. If you respect someone, he's going to respect you in return. That's how it works. And it works from the lathe. A lathe works even if you're a million miles away. If you, in your heart, I'm serious, if in your heart you show care for a person now, today, you're not talking to them, they'll feel that care. Chazal say, K'mayim panim el panim ken lave adam la adam. It doesn't say you have to be in front of them. The lave of a person to another lave. A lave feels. A lave feels care. If you care for a person, they'll feel that care even if they're not around. That's a chiddush, I know, but that's what Chazal say. Chazal say, ken lave adam la adam. Well, it has to be in front of them. They feel it. But certainly if you speak to them, or you send them a card, or you do something that shows you care, avara, they feel it. Sometimes, Chazanesh speaks about this. He says, the lave of a person, if a person has midot chadot, it's like strong midas, he can show a tremendous ava for other people, and they feel that ava. And they feel that the person cares. And that's why a lot of times you see people who everyone likes them. They like them. Or hates them even. Right? Because there's a certain hakrana of a lave to that other person. You know, some people that sometimes you meet a person, first sight you don't like them. There's something you don't like about them. You feel that. And it remains. It's because you didn't like them the first time they met, they felt it. Now, it could be you saw them doing something which you didn't respect, and because of that, you didn't like them. And you projected that you didn't like them, and for that onwards, they've picked up on it. They didn't like you either. You with me? And it takes time to gain that respect, because already they feel, ah, this guy's not earnest with me, he's not true. Right? Now, different people have different things that they pick up on other people. If you're a very honest person, you see someone who's not so honest, right? You're not going to like it. And he's going to pick up, or she, or whoever it is going to pick up that you don't respect them. You don't see them as honest people. And they're going to feel it. They might not feel where it's coming from. They feel that there's no respect here. And they'll feel it. You understand what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Respect is believe. If you work on thinking about the things that are good of your parents, not the bad things, the good things, and the good things they did for you, that'll automatically bring you to respect them. And you'll find you'll speak to them differently. They'll hear in your voice a different way of speaking. I think how you'd speak to someone who you have tremendous respect for. Speak differently to them. Completely differently. Can you imagine if you spoke to your parents that way? They'd hear it. Say, why are you speaking funny today? But they'd hear it and say, no, Mom. No, Dad. You understand? There's a lot you can do, even from far away. There's a lot you can do.
How about, like, respecting it? Is there anything, like, in terms of on Shabbos, something for your roommate, you think it's good to show respect for, like, someone you're living with? Like,
of course, you should respect. You love your neighbor as yourself, right? So the Rambam writes, you should be lachus al mamono, to be careful with the person's money, right? To return it to him if he loves a lost object, or the he's making a bad investment, you help him out, or whatever it is. You see his
He put his stuff in a place where it's getting trampled or whatever. You see people, you help them out. Right? And to honor him with words, with nice words. Speak to him nicely. Make sense? Mm-hmm. When you speak to a person nicely, it's a change. Complete change. That's for after Recha Kamocha. Rabbeinu Yonah says, we have a mitzvah aseh. It's a tremendous. Klal Gadol B'Torah, says Rabbi Akiva. That means speak to people nicely. You mekayim mitzvahs v'after recha kamocha. You know, sometimes we're so abrupt, we're so used to it. Especially come from a city or whatever, right? The tough talk. You should see the certain people who speak. Women speak much more edel than men. Even women between women. Look, maybe I don't know in the secular, but at least maybe in the frumbo, but they're very edel. They speak very nicely. It's men who get into arguments and stuff like that. Women don't, at least I don't know, look, I don't know that. But the way it sounds, they sound very edel. The way they speak to each other, there's tremendous respect they have for each other. Men don't have that. They're tough. You go into the outside world, you're tough in business, You're going to crack a deal, you're going to do this, you're tough. Women aren't like that. At least the women that don't go outside. The women, they're idle. They speak nicely to their children, they speak nicely to the people. They're friendly. They're mechabed. It's a tremendous thing they have. We should learn from them. Now, I'm not saying not every woman is like that. There are people who, are strong and stern and thing. But that's not someone you want to marry. That's what will keep you away from. You want the idle girl. Well, the nice girl. But you have to also treat it that way. It's the same with your parents. If you speak to them softly, nicely, they'll listen to you. Divrei chachamim benachat nishmaim. The words of the wise are listened with benachat, in a soft way, the soft voice. You don't have to scream things out for them to be listened. Sometimes the most powerful words are the soft words. People listen to soft words. Especially if they're said in a mechabed way, in an honorable way. People listen. You understand?